views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Dr. Julie Show, all things connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System, is a transformative hit show that will explore the interconnection between ourselves, our community, and our world. Dr. Julie is joined by visionary leaders and change makers to explore innovations and what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Now here's your host, Dr. Julie Kroll.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in with us today. This is Dr. Julie Kroll, and you're listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for this next hour. As you know, we explore our interconnected lives, and every Tuesday right here on The Dr. Julie Show, we have some of the world's leading visionaries and experts helping you to explore your connection to self, spirit, nature, community, and all things working in the world. And speaking of what's working, imagine that our experiences are formed by the words and ideas we attach to them. That naming something play rather than work can mean the difference between delight and drudgery. Imagine science and research making the connection between mindlessness and unhappiness, and also between mindfulness and health. Imagine turning back the biological clock by simply turning back the psychological clock. Yep, we're going to talk about that today. And because of it, dramatic improvements in hearing, memory, dexterity, appetite, and general well-being. It's true. And imagine that rejuvenation and ongoing good health lies in being aware of the ways we mindlessly react to social and cultural cues. This is going to be an exciting show today. I can't wait to introduce our guest, but I invite you to take a few deep breaths and bring your awareness into this moment. Open your mind, connect with your heart. As we expand into your greatest potential, I want to introduce Dr. Ellen Langer. She's the author of 11 books and more than 200 research articles, including the international bestseller, Mindfulness, which has been translated into 15 different languages. Also, The Power of Mindful Learning, On Becoming an Artist, and most recently, Counterclockwise. She is the recipient of so many awards. Among these numerous awards and honors, the Guggenheim Fellowship, an award for distinguished contributions to psychology and the public interest from the American Psychological Association, the Award for Distinguished Contributions of Basic Science to the Application of Psychology from the American Association of Applied and Preventive Psychology, and the Adult Development and Aging Distinguished Research Achievement Award from the American Psychological Association. Dr. Langer's trailblazing experiments in social psychology have earned her inclusion in the New York Times Magazine Years in Ideas issue, and she will soon be the subject of a major motion picture. Dr. Langer is a member of the psychology department at Harvard University, and one of my favorite things, she's a painter, she's an artist. Welcome, Dr. Langer.
Thank you. That was some introduction, Julie. Hard to follow myself.
Well, I tell you what, we could have went on and on and on. Your work and your whole life is such a beautiful story, and I love everything that has come out of Dr. Ellen Langer, I tell you, even the artwork.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, we have a little tradition on our show, Dr. Langer, before we get started. I love to hear different perspectives on unity consciousness and this all things connected piece, this unified field, some people call it. So I always like to ask our different guests, what all things connected means to you.
Well, I've been studying mind-body unity for almost 40 years. And so that's, I think that's probably as far as I'll go during this hour, which is, but I can't expand it, but I'm going to I'm gonna pass, not knowing what I'll end up saying.
Well,
but the mind-body unity is basically the essence of lots of the exciting research that we've been doing now for many years, that I argue that mind and body are just words. And if we put the mind and body back together, then wherever we put the mind, we're necessarily putting the body. The reason this matters is that for centuries, people have worried about the mind-body problem. And the mind-body problem is, how do you get from this fuzzy thing called the thought to something material, like the body? And by worrying about how you get from one to the other, progress, I think, has been severely halted, limited. By putting them back together, then the question disappears. And so what we've done is years and years of research, some of which you captured in your introduction, where we put the mind in unusual places and take our measurements from the body. As far as the interpersonal consequences, see, I said I wasn't going to answer, but now I'm going to, that mindfulness is contagious. And not only that, but we have a fair amount of data that when people are more mindful, we have to discuss certainly what that actually means, but when people are more mindful, they're found more attractive by other people. And so it has a positive group effect. When people are mindful, their relationships are better. So you have, once you're mindful, in some sense, you're affecting everything around you.
That's fascinating. I think that's an interesting way of taking that fuzzy thought and then manifesting something into the body form. And I just want to start, I just want to back up a little bit because we have so much to talk about today, but you started your research, if I remember correctly, of really looking at mindlessness.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, when I was a child, people used to say to me, "Are you always thinking?" And that was the first cue that they were doing something different, although I didn't quite know what. And then I would notice things as I got a little older. You know, I'd walk into a mannequin and I'd say, "Excuse me." And then I watched the strange things other people did. And then I started to study it. And the studies revealed to me, sadly, that most people are mindless almost all of the time. And what I'm fond of saying is that when we're not there to know we're not there. So everybody thinks that they're mindful, but in fact, mindlessness is pervasive.
When we're not there to know we're not there.
Right.
Yeah, that does make it pervasive, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I think that, we've done studies with so many populations and in so many settings, and throughout, we find that when we make people more mindful, all sorts of things change, and they wouldn't change if people started off as being mindful. But one of the very early studies, we took a little memo. These were just sort of cute demonstrations, I think. We took a memo and sent it around to all the people in the building that said, "Please return this memo to room 248. Now, we thought that if somebody got it, they would say, if the person who sent it wanted it, why would they have sent it? And they either wouldn't send it back or they'd scribble something on it, and there was nothing. And after I published a paper with some of these studies on it, somebody called me and told me that a friend of theirs, now I don't think this is apocryphal, but I can't be absolutely sure, but that the person had put an ad in the newspaper saying send $1 to, and gave his address, not offering anything in return, and made about $20,000. You know, because people are so used to, oh, it's only a dollar, not thinking of, well, what the it actually is. So.
Wow, that's fascinating. You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about listening to you, and we're not going to have a lot of time before this first break to get into, but it's so refreshing to have your Western science and feminine approach when a lot of the mindfulness teachers have been a lot of Eastern spirituality, and you've really put some concrete and specific just real tangible studies together that have helped people really understand this. So yes. When we come back, I'd love to hear about some of your big discoveries and how science is now showing us what, to me, it's science and spirituality connected here. So it's really exciting. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Dr. Julie Show. We have Dr. Ellen Langer. And stay with us. We'll be right back with so much on mindfulness and all of the amazing mysteries that go with it. Stay with us.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic Coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call. Want to experience a deeper spiritual connection, reduce stress, and overcome anxiety? You can take control of your life now with the power of meditation. Let Jennifer Farmer, gifted intuitive medium and spiritual teacher, show you how easy it is to develop your natural intuitive gifts, manage chronic pain, and live abundantly with a consistent meditation practice. Sign up now for Jennifer's newsletter at jenniferfarmer.com to receive a free healing meditation and watch her free instructional videos at jenniferfarmer.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expanding to social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life, with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com. And get into it now.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on the diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, and this is Dr. Julie Krall. My guest today is the mother of mindfulness, Dr. Ellen Langer. She's been termed that by many, many, many because of her history and research and the science of mindfulness for so long. So right before the break, Dr. Langer, we were talking about spirituality and science coming together with mindfulness. And most people, when they're, you know, a lot of really amazing research is coming out right now with the mind-body connection and proving things. And it seems maybe to the mindlessness, to the mindless people, that mindfulness was this spiritual practice that came from the East and Buddhism and what have you, and now science is catching up. But really it was the reverse. You've been doing this for 30 or 40 years. Is that correct?
Closer to 40. Yes, closer to 40 years.
Closer to 40 years.
But Julie, what was interesting to me was when I, as I was early on studying mindlessness, and then a student of mine or somebody had said, not as a nasty thing to me, but that he heard you are what you study, and I think it was that comment that made me turn it around to study mindfulness. Anyway, what was most pleasing to me was that the findings I was getting and the thoughts that I was having about the importance of this way of being, to see that it had a history, an ancient history, felt very good, because it was so different from what psychology was looking at back in the 70s. You know, so there are different ways of getting to the same place. Maybe now's a good time to explain that. That many people, when you talk about mindfulness, they think of meditation, and that's because of some wonderful work that some people have done, especially in the therapeutic realm. Meditation, and I did some of that early work also in the 80s, actually, that mindful meditation sets you up for post-meditative mindfulness. So while you're meditating, it's not the time you're mindful, it's after that. The mindfulness, as I study it, is immediate. Now, it's a simple act of noticing new things. And as you notice new things, you come to see that you didn't know the thing you noticed nearly as well as you thought you did. So it becomes interesting again. Everything is always changing. Everything looks different, different from different perspectives. And yet we tend to hold it all still and seek certainties. And that's mindless. So when you notice new things, you see that this thing is now something different from what it was before, whether it's a person, a way of approaching something, a piece of music you're listening to. Simply noticing.
So do you have any, like, recommendations, any tools that would help our listeners to really practice that mindfulness
sure.
in that way?
Yeah, it's not really a practice. You know, that I used to respond to the question, what's the difference between, you know, East and West in terms of this concept, that there are many people that I know who have difficulty sitting still for 5 minutes once a day. To meditate, you should sit still for 20 minutes twice a day. So it's not that one is better than the other, that if somebody is looking for something very exotic, meditation may work better for them. If they're looking for something that's not that exotic, that they can immediately incorporate in their everyday activities, then mindfulness, as I study it, may be more effective. And all you need to do, if you have only one mindset, and it's the only mindset you should have, because mindsets hold things still and are mindless, it should be a mindset for uncertainty, recognizing that we can't know. No matter what it is, we can't know it, because it's changing, because it looks different from different perspectives. So anytime you think you know something, or if you say silly things like, well, obviously, or certainly, or whatever, you know, a bell can go off and say, well, wait a second, there's no reason for such certainty. The easier thing to do is, for whatever is that's before you, notice new things. So you go home later today, or if you are home and you have somebody living with you, notice 5 new things about the person. And what happens is the person starts to come alive again, which is most important for relationships that, you know, that feel old. In fact, I know you're trying to get a word in. I'm not going to let you until I say this one other thing. That I had realized a long time ago, you know, there are people who complain they've been at work for the same job for 15, 20 years. They're bored to death. There are people who say that they've been in a relationship for 15, 20 years. There's no excitement. And then I think of friends who have children, and I don't remember any of them saying about their 20-year-olds, you know, he or she bores me to death. And the reason that children, or your own children, don't bore you is because you expect them to change. So you look for differences, and that keeps it all exciting. And you should be doing that with everything.
I love that prescription. I love that because, really, it's just bringing you into the awareness. But it, like you said, it's not. You don't have to sit in meditation or yoga to do that. Even just being really mindful of your body,
right,
and mindful of your language. Now, you talk a lot about language and words and how,
yeah,
we're really conditioned by language and words.
Yeah, that I think that we don't realize that we have choices in the way we describe things to ourselves. One of the ones that probably is most important, I think, is the difference between remission and cure. And so if you look at people who had a bout with cancer, most of them are told if the cancer goes away that they're in remission. And so I have a friend who came back from Mass General who had a bad case of cancer, and I said, Eva, what did they say? And they said, her cancer's in remission. And at that moment, I thought, well, wait a second. If I took the very same test with the very same results, they'd tell me I don't have cancer. Why is it that I don't have it, but she has it in remission? Now, when you have something in remission, there's a fear that, you know, it's sort of, it's always lurking, it's always there. And if you think about colds, when you have a cold and then the cold goes away, you don't think the cold is in remission. It's gone, even though you may get another cold. So there are ways that each cold is similar to each other cold, which is why we call them colds, but there are also ways that each is different. If you attend to the differences, then it makes sense to see yourself as cured. And it's the same thing with cancer. You have a bout with cancer, and then if another cancer, you get another cancer, there are ways that it's similar, so you could say it's the same cancer, but there are also ways that it's different. So we studied this, looking at thousands of women who, about a thousand, excuse me, who had a bout with breast cancer, and we wanted to know, did they see their cancer pass as in remission or cured? And then we followed them up a year and a half later, and those who saw themselves as cured were better on all the dimensions, physical and psychological. So it makes a difference. Another difference in a whole different realm might be the simple word choice between can I do something versus how can I do it. And when you say can I do it, well, if you've never done it before, you're likely to conclude you can't do it, and that's the end of it. If you say how can I do it, or how is it done, then you bypass your ego and your history and whatever, and you just start looking for solutions. And that's the way you get to go beyond where you thought you might otherwise be.
You know, I really want to go into another one of your research, but we don't have a lot of time before this break. So I would, when you're talking about cancer and cure and remission, and then how can I do this, help us understand, too, I hear a lot of people really warring and battling, you know, like, we're going to fight this, fight for
right,
the cure,
right,
and all
yeah,
this
thank
warring.
Thank you for reminding me of that, Julie. Yes, that when people talk about fighting the cancer, what they're not realizing is they've already almost given up. Because, you know, the example I give is that if you had a 3-year-old tugging at your pant leg, you wouldn't say you're fighting the child. You know, so the whole notion of fighting means the adversary is very big and strong and harder to conquer. But we have a lot to say about cancer. I don't know if we should get into it now or on the show. I mean, what people don't realize is that all of the statistics that are gathered that their oncologist may be giving them are old. You know, it takes a while to do the research, to publish it, for it to be replicated, and the world keeps changing. And, you know, a simple way of looking at that is that, let's say, the 60-year-old today and the 60-year-old of 20 years ago are very different. You know, they talk about 80 being the new 60. And with that, our health is different, so that the numbers, the likelihood of you beating any of these diseases like cancer is probably a lot greater than most people fear. But the fear itself is insidious. And I think that here's where the medical world and I probably disagree some. And I think that over time, we will see that stress is not just a minor problem for our health. I think that stress is probably the major problem, regardless of the disease.
Yeah, I imagine stress. I was just looking at an antibody test, and just those small little stressors and inflammation create huge effects on our immune system. So that would be a fascinating conversation. When we come back from the break, I really want to talk about one of your most prominent research studies, because it's exciting. And yet, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to find you. So let's take just a moment here before the break and give our listeners your website. How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, the easiest way is to go to LangerMindfulnessInstitute.com, and one can see all of the research, the retreats that we do, the workshops, and there are also talks that I've given that they can listen to.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how you might be able to turn back the clock. So this is Dr. Julie Kroll. You're listening to The Dr. Julie Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for more with Dr. Ellen Langer. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show. I am Dr. Julie Kroll. I'm here with the amazing Dr. Ellen Langer. And I just want to remind listeners, you can find her at LangerMindfulnessInstitute.com. That's L-A-N-G-E-R, LangerMindfulnessInstitute.com. Dr. Langer, I have to tell you what happened to me 2 weeks ago. I have a couple clients who are nurses, and it seems like we've been talking about the placebo effect. And one of them, 2 weeks ago now, we got on the topic of the placebo, and she got all excited. She goes, "Oh my gosh, you got to hear about this study. There was a study, and they put a bunch of old men in this monastery," and I went, "Hi, I'm having her on my show in just a few weeks." So if she was so excited to talk about your show or your research, and I was so excited to say, you get to listen to my show. So let's talk about that. You did a study with some elderly gentlemen.
Yes.
Who...
Well, so let's go back a half of a step.
Okay.
And I said that we had been studying what I call mind-body unity. We put the mind and body back together, and then wherever we put the mind, we put the body. So with some research already underway with this, I then had the idea of taking, because I had already been doing a lot of research with older adults, and so we retrofitted a retreat to 20 years earlier. And we were going to have a group of elderly men, these are men in their 80s, live in the retreat for a week. But they were going to live in it as if it was a 20-year earlier time period. They were going to talk about events of that day in the present tense, not in the past tense. So we were putting their minds in that earlier place, and then we were going to take the measures from their bodies and see what happens. We had a comparison group, the same population kinds of people, these older men, who are going to live in the same retreat for a week with the same props around. However, for them, they were going to be reminiscing. So they would talk about the same topic. One group would be talking about it as if it's happening right now. The other group would be talking about it as if it was as it was 20 years ago. And it's important for the listeners to know that this was first done in, I published it in 81, but the study was first conducted in 1979, and that's when 80 was 80. It wasn't the new 60. These men were old. And as I'm fond of saying when I give lectures on this, you know, that I'm sitting in my office before we start the study, and these old men, usually brought in by their adult daughters, walking down the hall to come to the office where they're going to take tests to see if they're well enough to be in the study. And I'm saying to myself, what am I getting myself into? I don't know if they're going to live through the day, no less, you know, for a week, where I've now made myself responsible for their whole lives. Well, something happened on the way to the retreat with the comparison group. I realized we were in a van, and I realized that my male graduate students and postdocs weren't with me. There I was with these 80-year-old men, and that meant 8 large suitcases. And I wasn't going to carry them in. Now I would know it's good exercise, but then I didn't know. So I get off the bus, and I say to these men, "I don't care, you know, the suitcases are your responsibility. I don't care if you unpack them a shirt at a time, or if you move the suitcase an inch at a time. Any way you want to do it, but it's up to you." And this was so very different from the way they had been overcared for by their loving children, that they also showed positive benefits at being at this retreat, but not quite as positive as the experimental group. We took photographs of everybody before they started, and we took photographs again at the end of the week, and we showed them to people who knew nothing about the study, and the people in this experimental group who were living as if it were the past were rated as looking much younger. They didn't look 20 years younger, truth be told, but they did look significantly younger. What we found was that this group that put their minds back into the past, had an increase in vision, in hearing, their arthritis symptoms diminished, Their strength improved, their memory improved. And as I said, they looked younger. So this was very exciting. It was also the case that at the end of the study, and remember they walk in, they start this study where they're really looking feeble. At the end of this, I was playing football with them. Not tackled, just touch football. But a few stopped using their canes. It was very, very dramatic. So dramatic that when I first wrote it up, I was actually afraid to go full out and describe what I had experienced and what the numbers showed us, because it was so different from what the world believed at that time, which is, you know, getting older is a one-way street to total deterioration. And I, you know, don't think that that needs to be the case, and that it's not hard to change that. Its relationship to the placebo is, this mind-body unity theory explains the placebo. You take a placebo, person is given this by a doctor, so you have an authority give this to you, and it's just a sugar pill, or it's something inert by definition. It's not medication, and yet you get better. And when you think about it, so how are you getting better? Who's making you better? You're making yourself better. And so part of my life's work has been to try to find the ways, saying, you know, why don't we learn just to heal ourselves? And so that's what lots of the newest research is all about. You're breathing. You want to say something?
No, that's all. Okay. This is fascinating, and I'm wondering if there are these connections, and the placebo is a whole other conversation, and we can talk about that.
Well,
but
it's not really a whole other conversation, because the medical world can't explain placebos, and this mind-body unity theory explains it. So, you know, you take this drug, you think you're going to get better, because you fully believe it. And what I'm saying is, if in fully believing it, then you get better, why can't you just find other ways to make yourself better? Because you yourself are responsible for your healing. One of the things that we're doing this now with many diseases, we've done it with several already, but maybe 10 different diseases, where we're teaching people to attend to the variability in their symptoms, which is just a code word for mindfulness, noticing the differences. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're diagnosed with asthma. Now, people who have asthma believe that they have it all the time, and they don't pay any attention to it. If instead you realize sometimes you need the inhaler, sometimes you don't. And if you found that, well, when you were talking to Julie Cole, you don't need the inhaler. When you're talking to, I don't know, your boss, you need the inhaler. If you paid attention to that, then part of the way to control it becomes obvious. Don't see that other person any longer, or make those interactions just like they are with Julie. So the point is, when we're given a diagnosis, especially for a chronic disorder, we think we have the symptoms all the time, but we don't. Not only that, when we have the symptoms, sometimes they're better, sometimes they're worse. And if we tuned in and said, well, why are they better or worse now? And we start entertaining possible reasons for that, that very pursuit is mindful. And all the research I've done up to this point says that that's good for your health. You know, early on we made people mindful and they lived longer. And that, you know, so it's good for you even if you don't find the answer. And you're more likely to find the answer if you look for it than if you don't.
So, you know,
so take depression. In depression, people think that who are depressed think they're always depressed. No one is always anything, you know. And if they kept a diary, for example, and they would see, gee, now I'm less depressed than I was before. Well, why is that? Well, you know, it's because I didn't do this particular activity that makes me stressed or whatever it is. That's information that you can then use to change your life.
Yeah, what I love about this conversation and the discussion I hear is really mindfulness is bringing us in and really allowing us to challenge some beliefs that we've never even challenged before. Yes. And you talk a lot about the power of possibility in your book, Counterclockwise, about how when we really do look at these beliefs and we question them, it's just like the men in the monastery, and I want to go back to that in a moment too, but this placebo effect is that same way of really, wow, okay, I don't have this chronic illness, or I don't have this remission. It's really looking at our language and choosing really this transient way of being in the world and listening to noticing our bodies in a whole different way.
Right, exactly, and noticing change. So when I started the Counterclockwise book, I tried to find out what exactly is a chronic illness. How chronic does it have to be labeled that? You know, do you have to have the symptoms 24/7? If you have it once a day for an hour, is it a chronic illness? And so on. 3 days a week. And there is no definition. And as soon as you recognize that you don't have it all the time, a couple of interesting questions occurred to me. The first is, well, do you still have the disease when you don't have any of the symptoms? Second, that when you don't have it, why? Mm-hmm. And you have to look at your own lives to see what's different about this moment than the moment before.
Yeah, this is good news for fibromyalgia and,
for
and MS
yeah.
and arthritis.
That's what we have. We have data now. We're pursuing data with multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease. We've done arthritis. We're looking now at diabetes. These things are going to be true for, we looked at depression.
Let's look at all of this in a second. We got to take a break. I hate this. I love where we're going with this, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Do you seek direction in the world of cares? Countess Starella, the amazing clairvoyant, can help you. Love and romance are her specialties as she tunes in to your life. Is this your soulmate? Ask Countess Starella direct. Born in New Orleans, Starella is a lifelong naturally gifted mystical lady with an incredible ability to see the future for you. Starella has been featured on many international television channels and for years had her own show in Japan. Her European TV credits include a series of two-hour specials for Network TV3 in Ireland. Countess Starella is currently featured here on Transformation Talk Radio in a weekly show, Psychic World, each Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can consult Countess Starella personally on the brilliant website of Ornam.com. Just search for Countess Starella. There you can speak direct with the wonderfully gifted mystical lady herself, the amazing Countess Starella, on Ornam.com. That's O-R-A-N-U-M.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's G-A-L-E-O-S cafe.com.
We're We're back, and you're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected on Transformation Talk Radio. Hey, please visit our website, thedrjulieshow.com, for upcoming guests, and all of the archives are right there for you. You can listen to fascinating shows on the All Things Connected website. And stay tuned and stay connected. Stay tuned in to all of this good stuff all week long on our Facebook page, where we try to continue the conversation. And I want to remind you, you can get a hold of Dr. Ellen Langer at LangerMindfulnessInstitute.com. That's L-A-N-G-E-R, MindfulnessInstitute.com. Dr. Langer, this was so exciting, and we were right in the middle of all this good stuff. And we've been talking about the mind-body unity theory, and I know you've done other research on the mind-body vision study, the chambermaid study, and we wanted to talk a little bit about dyslexia. But I want to make sure that our listeners really get understand what was really happening when those elderly gentlemen went away into the monastery, and how does that affect, how does that help the definition of mindfulness and the placebo effect? Can you make that connection for us?
I'll try. That basically, by priming their earlier selves when they felt vital, and in some sense not letting them stop themselves the way we do by thinking, oh, we can't do it, or we're too old, or whatever negative things we tell ourselves, they went on in this novel environment to engage in such a way that the ramifications for their health were extraordinary. And the, you know, so that basically we use their mindlessness priming their past to then have them be mindful in the present. The other studies that you mentioned, can I just mention something about dyslexia before we go
forward?
Oh,
yeah, please do,
Make something clearer from the last segment. That most people who are dyslexic, if you gave them a 250-word page to read, they would probably at most get two words wrong. That means they're getting 248 words correct. And there in itself seems to me bizarre that one would define themselves by what they can't do. And then when, you know, if you knew, if we do this attention to variability, where you see the words you got wrong and you have other words that you've gotten right, and you say, well, what is it about these two or three words? And in exploring that, again, the exploration is mindful and good for your health, and you might come up with some understanding of it. The other mind-body studies that you mentioned, the vision one, for example, that's an easy one to talk about. When you go to the doctor's office, most of us have at one point or the other been given the Snelling eye test. So you see a bunch of letters, and the letters get progressively smaller, and you're supposed to read down the chart. Well, there were several things about this that struck me as odd. The first thing is, why do we care about a bunch of letters that make no sense, that are still, and that are in black and white? You know, and take that number as a measure of how well we see. If I'm hungry, I can see the sign for the restaurant a lot sooner than if I'm not hungry. If something is moving, if it's in color, and so on, that our vision varies just as everything else does. Mm-hmm. But we hold it still with that number that we get from the Snelling eye chart. Now, when you notice that the chart with the letters on the eye chart get progressively smaller, implicitly that's telling you soon you won't be able to see. So what we did was simply come up with a reverse eye chart. Now the letters are getting progressively larger, thereby telling you soon you will be able to see. And we find that people can see what they couldn't see before. In another one of these studies, most people believe that they're going to have trouble seeing around two-thirds down the chart. So what we do is we start the chart a third of the way down. So now two-thirds of the way down are much smaller letters. And again, people can see what they couldn't see before. So I think that virtually all of our abilities far exceed our expectations, and many of them are given to us by the medical world. Some are given to us by parents and teachers. You know, you go to school and you're given a low grade. And there's a sense that the whole world thinks that you're a C, rather than realizing it's just this particular person who chose this particular set of questions for a test that you didn't do well on. You know, and so then people give up. And in the giving up, these things become self-fulfilling prophecies. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think you can't see, you don't look. If you think you can't accomplish what an A student might accomplish, you don't even begin it. If you're told you have dyslexia, you think that that means you can't read, rather than there are just a few words you get wrong, then you stop reading, and eventually you're going to know less than other people. But it doesn't have to be that way.
And then you had the chambermaid study where these hotel maids were told that their work is really good exercise.
Yeah, well, this was a reasonably dramatic study, a test of this mind-body unity idea. That first thing they did was to ask these chambermaids, and for all people listening, you know, the chambermaids are exercising in reality all day long. We ask them how much exercise they think they're getting, and they say they're not getting exercise, which is bizarre. But that's because they're using the definition of exercise that's based on what most of us are doing because we're sitting at desks or in offices all day long. So they're exercising, but they don't see themselves as exercising. Now, when we look at socioeconomic equivalent others, people just like them, but who don't have jobs where they're doing this much exercise, they should be healthier if exercise is good for you. Right? You have one group exercising, the other group isn't. They're no different. Okay, so that we won't speak to again. Just, you know, think about that later. Now, what we did was we took these chambermaids and we divided them into two simple groups. For one group, the important group, we taught them that their work was exercise. We simply told them things like, you know, working at the gym, on this machine at the gym is similar to making a bed and so on. So you have one group who doesn't think their work is exercise. The important group now thinks their work is exercise. We took all sorts of measures at the beginning of this. And then we came back, I think it was a month and a half later, but I'm not certain, I don't remember. And we took, again, all of the measures. We found that the group that now thinks their work is exercise, they're not eating any differently from the other group. They're not working any harder than the other group. They're not really doing anything different from the other group except this change in how they're understanding what they're doing. As a result of seeing their work as exercise, we found a significant change in waist-to-hip ratio, weight, body mass index, and their blood pressure came down.
Wow.
All from the change in how they're viewing what they're doing.
Yes. You know what? Your body of work is so brilliant, and I so appreciate it. I wish we had more time. We have to wrap up the show, but I'm going to remind our listeners you can find Dr. Langer at LangerMindfulnessInstitute.com and check out her book, Counterclockwise, or the best-selling classic, Mindfulness. Thank you so much, Dr. Langer, for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to following more of what's coming out of Harvard. Thank you so much. And listeners, come right back. We'll be here next Tuesday, same time. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as you journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com for next week's guests and to catch up on past shows. See you next week.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit jenroyster.com for more information.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Torella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Torella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Torella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Torella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
Tune in to the Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Torella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Torella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Torella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Torella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.